You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, get somebody.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
it's
moment.
Come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
Welcome back to another Inside Ben Davis Football, live from the Arby's Rest Across the Street. I'm your host, LaVon Durden, and of course, joining me tonight is Jeff Robinson. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, LaVon. Just ate Arby's chicken sandwich and ready to talk Ben Davis Football.
John Easter, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great. Week three, hard to believe. We're trucking right along.
And of course, head coach of the Ben Davis Giants, who are 2-0 as of right now, Mike Kirschner. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Or enjoying some curly fries. Just got off the practice field and see if we can get a little better tomorrow.
Well, of course, first question, as always, is last week you guys came off another stunning victory of 57-27 over a new opponent, the Avon Orioles, who are a sectional opponent. What can you tell us that you guys took away from this game? What did you see overall?
We'll go like I like to do. We'll start from the very beginning. I thought we came out sluggish. I thought we came out flat. Avon did a nice job gaining field position, forced us to a quick three and out. We punted. Thought our defense did a nice job getting them off field. They punted us deep. Our offense came out and sputtered again. And then we punted, didn't get off a good punt, and they started with a short field and scored. You know, from the 30, they went, came, started at the 30-yard line, had a nice little drive, scored, went up 6-0. We blocked the PAT. And I think that kind of woke us up. I think we scored the next 27 points before they answered with another one. If my memory serves me correctly, they hit us with an 80-yarder right before half to make it make it 27-13, 27-12, I'm trying to remember which, 27-12. And then we responded. I thought it was pretty neat. We went into our two-minute mode. We had about 2 minutes and 14 seconds going to half, and Kyle Kastner and the kids did a nice job leading us right down the field and recovering. We blew a coverage on the long 80-yard pass play. We just absolutely had a brain lapse and just didn't cover a guy. I mean, it was amazing. I'm trying not to say something else.
I think we knew where you were going there, Coach.
But he just forgot to cover him. You know, next thing you know, they got their tight end running down the middle of the field for an 80-yard touchdown, and their quarterback's a great quarterback. He did a great job. But our offense answered and got us back to 33-12 for half. And then, you know, you got to give credit to a well-coached Avon bunch. They came right back out and scored and made it 33-20, put together about a 12-play drive. It seemed like we got him to third and something five times and couldn't get off the field. But Brandon Peters kept making the right throws, and their kid Kendall Griffin was making some great catches, and their tight end is excellent. And, you know, made it 33-20. And then from there, our offense, I believe, had a one-play drive. Dorian Tate had about a 67, 70-yard run that made it 40-20. And then defense got a little stouter, got the ball back. We went down and scored again. Then when that made it 47. Then we scored again, and that made it 54. And then we kind of started subbing some kids out a little bit. And our last 10 points were actually scored by our JV kids. So overall, we played well at times. Still frustrated like I was with practice tonight with some of the mental lapses, some of the confusion that goes on the field and the lack of focus at times. You know, we did the same thing with Cathedral. We kind of got up and kind of took our foot off the gas, and you can't do that against good teams. And obviously this Friday we're going to see a great team in Pike, and if we take our foot off the gas, we'll find ourselves in the wrong end of the scoreboard.
I overheard your interview with Bob Lovell mm-hmm. while I was driving home from the game I was covering, and to me you sounded more like a coach that might have been on the short end of that.
That's what Bob
there.
Said.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about what were some of the biggest frustrations that you observed out there.
Yeah, well, okay. I thought we were better on penalties. Obviously, our offense is clicking. You know, I can't sit here and say our offense did this, didn't do that. Our kicking game didn't open up right away. You know, we missed a field goal, missed a couple PATs. And then all of a sudden, he kicks in the second quarter. He kicks everything in the end zone. Kicks his PATs like he's got a foot like an NFL kicker. The mental lapses with the defense, giving up the 80-yard touchdown. You know, right before we went out there, I said, now, you know, we got them all together. I said, last week at this time, you know, Cathedral came out and put that great drive together right before half and walked us right down the field because we just stopped. And sure enough, I turn around, the kid goes 80 yards in one play, and I brought him over. I said, that's what we're talking about. You can't, you know, sometimes we look at the score and we think, okay, this is really it. You know, that we scored 57 points, and Avon was ranked in the top 10. And Avon, it should be ranked in the top 10. They're a great team, great quarterback, got some great defensive kids, well-coached. And, you know, and so you sit there and say, well, if they're really a top 10 team and you hung 57 on, you must be great. Well, if we don't fix the mental and we don't fix some of the confusion we have and things, we won't get better. And if you don't get better and everybody else does, then the gap begins to close. And when that gap closes, now you're fighting for your life. You know, are we gonna score 50 points every time we go out? Absolutely not. We're gonna play a defense this weekend on Friday night that I'm pretty sure we're not sniffing 50 or 40, and we better hope we find the end zone. I mean, they're that good. They're that athletic, and they're that fast.
And I'm lucky enough to have seen that defense you're going to face.
Right.
They're pretty good.
No, they're very good. And so you can't – our defense, you know, and we're playing well at times. We're not playing well for a game. And until that changes, I'm not going to get on the radio and say, wow, we hung 50. Thanks, Bob. We're the – this thing since sliced bread, as Coach D would say. Well, because we're not, you know, and it's a process, and I know it's a process, but I want to see a step in the process that makes us better than we were the week before.
Coach, you know, you talk about some of the individual efforts that you saw. Kyle Kastner, again, was excellent, throwing for another 300-yard passing day. Dorian Tate was unreal on the offensive end. Defensively, as you said, the defense got more stout as the game went on. One of the biggest plays of the game was a defensive play, and it was Asmar Bilal leveling Brandon Peters. And to Peters' credit, he got up and came back in, and I think you actually said this too on the Bob Lovell interview. You said that he actually got better after you guys knocked him down. That was a great hit, totally, completely legal. I've seen it 500 times now. You know, one of those things on YouTube where you stop it and you roll it forward, and you stop it and you roll it forward.
Right in the shoulder.
I mean, it was just, but not so much the hit by Asmar, but the hit by Asmar, but. Peter's getting up from that and then coming back and you know, really hurting you at times.
There's a reason why he's a Division I quarterback. You know, a big-time quarterback will take a hit. He may not like it. It may not feel good, but he gets up and keeps shooting. And to his credit and his team's credit, they did. You know, they kind of abandoned the run. You know, the score had gotten a little bit to the point where they kind of had to abandon the run. And he starts throwing that ball around you know, to his credit, he connected with the right people. You know, we blew a few coverages. We blew a few assignments. You know, we had our free safety, you know, was cramping a little bit. So we put him down. We moved another guy to free safety. Then we had a guy go down. We moved a junior who's never played varsity in a corner. We moved a corner into outside linebacker because we had an outside linebacker go down. And that shouldn't affect us, but it was. And they were taking advantage of it, and they were clicking. I mean, it was fun to watch him. If you were in the stands watching him throw the ball, he throws the ball tight spiral. He gets it out quick, and he puts it out there where it belongs. He's a good kid.
Returning back to kind of the offense, again, as you guys have both mentioned, Dorian Tate and Kyle Kastner have kind of been the butt of the head when it comes to names and kind of propelling this offense. But at times, it also seemed like the offense kind of struggled. Is this also because of the fact that they slow down their pace, or is it at times where it just seems like everything falls apart? We see miscommunication. All of a sudden, we see them going two or three or four straight drives with three and outs, no results.
Well, it's a combination of things, combination of our errors and a combination of the defense playing. I mean, you know, the other side has to play too, and at times they defended us pretty well. You know, our offense, I think, punted four times for the night. You know, two of them in the very first two possessions, then two over the course of the rest of the night were very up-tempo, fast pace. Get up out of your stance, go, get to the next play. Don't slow down. Force the defense to kind of catch their breath on the run, which is tough to do. And, I you know, as we got into the middle of the second quarter and the third quarter, all of a sudden what wasn't there early now all of a sudden opens up because, you know, you alluded to Dorian Tate. In the first game, he carried the ball 14 times against Cathedral for 98 yards, and our running game wasn't as effective. This time he carries the ball, I think, 19 times. Only five more carries for 178 yards, has a couple catches. The way they were defending us, they were kind of taking away our passing game. They had four DBs locked on the four receivers plus two safeties over the top, so there were only five guys in the box. So early, we were trying to get our running game established, and once that got established, then they had to move those guys back in the box, which then allowed us to throw. We hit Brennan Gillis, had over 100 yards receiving and I think five catches, and True Smith had four or five catches, and Chris Evans had three or four catches. I mean, we still completed 21 of, I think, 36 passes for 311 yards. We've thrown for almost 700 yards in two games, which I've been here 15 years. That's never happened. Not even close. I mean, there's nothing that even resembles that offensive output. You know, we've had this week, I think we were 566 total offense. The week before, we were right at 500, 498, so we're 1,000 yards offense. Two games into it, and again, I was here when the James Bank era was, and I don't ever remember doing that in back-to-back nights. And against the kind of teams we're playing, you know, we're not playing maybe some of those other. We're playing really good opponents.
This was, I believe, the third time that you've been successful against Mark Bless's teams. Well, since he's been in Avon, the lowest point total that you've had in the three games have been 35 points, I believe, last year. What's been the key to your success against their defense?
I don't know. Other than, you know, three years ago we played him in the sectional. We had a pretty good offense. I mean, we had Lamont Osborne carrying the ball. We had Matt Brock running the offense. We were a different style of offense. We were midline veer, option offense. Kyle's a little different. You know, I think Friday night we took advantage of what was given to us. You know, they took something away, we went to something else. They took that away, we went to something else. Last year, you know, even though we scored 35, it was a tough 35. We were down most of the first half. In fact, we might have been down at halftime. I'm trying to remember. Was it 14-12 or 12-7 or something like that?
I think it was 14-7 at the half.
14-7 at the half. And we were struggling. Then we came out second half and hit some big pass plays, got a score, got the ball back, got a score. Next thing you knew, we were up, you know, quite a bit. But
it wasn't your normal way to get to 14. I think you had a couple safeties in there.
Yeah, it was real weird. Field goal, it was a real weird combo. Because our offense really struggled the first half against them last year. I thought they did a good job. They had a very, very good D-line last year. And they graduated several of those kids. So I thought they did a great job defending us a year ago. This time, and I'm sure if we run into them again, it will be different. But I'm not sure how or what, but you know, we've just had some good success. Our kids get fired up. They look at that as a rivalry, and then we go from there.
Coach, you know, you talk about the way that Avon took things away from you, but you were able to go to other things. That's a luxury many high school teams don't have. Right now, I mean, you guys really have interchangeable parts on offense. You know, I think we saw in the first game where True Smith got fed a lot. Mm-hmm. This game, it seemed like Brennan got a lot more opportunities. How do you keep everybody? I mean, how do you keep everybody focused? How do you keep everybody happy?
Well, you've
got that many options.
The happy part's a good question.
I mean, Kyle's always going to be happy because he's distributing.
He gets to be the distributor. We just tell him, you know, you got to accept your role. You know, if you can't accept your role, then we got to find somebody else, because we tried to explain to him after this last one. You know, the guy said, "Well, you didn't throw it to me as much." Well, you weren't open because they did this. This guy's open. You know, it's all about scoring and winning and moving on. It's not about who gets the ball. And being that we're running about six deep at wide receiver and a couple different tailbacks, it does make it tough to defend us. I mean, you know, as a defensive coach most of my life, it would be scary trying to figure out what you're going to stop and take away, and because we can do. But, you know, a side note to that is you got to look at the offensive line. You know, we returned three starters in Cache Wilder, Justin Brannan, and Tim Fields, and you had Josh Brown, Jahlil Brewer, and Quentin Tyler into that mix, three guys that are all interchangeable. We're not bad up front. We're not big. We're not intimidating. We're going to play an offensive line that's much larger than us this week. Pike's offensive line is much larger, very big, very strong kids. We're not that, but we're athletic. We get on people, and we got some very smart kids up front.
Well, I think that pretty much concludes this first half of Inside Ben Davis Football. Again, 57-27 was the score. The final score, the Giants did win over Avon. When we return, we will look at the game this Friday against Pike. But first, a 30-second break here on your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
WBDG thanks Classic Kings Automotive, located at 8485 West Washington Street. Classic Kings services include the restoration of foreign, domestic, and vintage classic cars and newer autos as well. Classic Kings also offers sales and brokerage services. 317-333-4427 is the number for Classic Kings. On the web at ClassicKings.com. Thanks to Classic Kings Automotive for its support of this WBDG sports broadcast.
Welcome back to more Inside Ben Davis Football. Again, I'm Levon Durden. Once again, joining us is Jeff Robinson. How are you still doing?
I'm doing great and enjoying another talk with the coach.
Of course, John Easter.
Yep, still here.
And of course,
I didn't leave during the break.
And of course, head coach Mike Kirshner.
Let's go. What's the tough question? Let's do that.
What's the tough question?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, bringing this, we are back. The Giants are back again playing against one of their biggest three rivals ever, the Pike Red Devils. Last year, it came down to sectionals. 34-32 was the final score. They split the meetings the last 2 years, 2-2. But, of course, the better side has been for Pike because they've won both the sectional meetings. What have you gone forward with when preparing for this game this time around?
Well, obviously you're talking about a Derek Moyer team that's very good, very athletic. He uses his kids very well, in the sense that he's got a good quarterback in Beau Trudeau. He's got, I think, four very, very good receivers. Spreads you out, tries to get those guys in space and take advantage of their athleticism. He's got a big offensive line, which is going to give us problems. They're much bigger than our defensive line guys are. And then you flip it over and you got the defensive side. He's got probably the largest D line we've seen, you know, in Jackson and Moore and those guys. I mean, they're 6'4", they're 290 pounds. You return two outside linebackers in Moon and Jones that both started for him last year. Their secondary's new, and their inside linebackers are new. So, but they're very athletic. They fly to the ball. They're 2-0 for a reason. They put all kinds of points on Brownsburg. Went to Fishers last week and beat, obviously, a Rick Wimmer, well-coached Fishers team, 26-22. So that's gonna be a problem. We're going there. It's going to be camo night for the second week in a row. They're going to be wearing the camo jerseys just like Avon did last week. So, they're going to have a huge fan base. It's a big rivalry. There'll be lots of people. But what you get is a Derek Moyers program that does it the right way, and they get lined up and they execute, and it's going to be a tough battle for us.
Compare the preparation for this year's Pike offense. I saw them in week one against Brownsburg. Beau Trudeau played behind Brent Lyles. Obviously, I thought for a good reason. I didn't see quite the strength of arm. And also, the runners are different. Eric Harrison looks like a good runner, but I wasn't quite as impressed with him as I was, say, Taylor Sanders last year. Has any of the strategies changed for you in terms of for your defense?
No, it really hadn't. I mean, obviously we got some new wrinkles because if you go with the same strategy and they kind of know how to beat that, then you're in trouble. We got some new wrinkles. What I think Beau Trudeau brings versus Brent Lyles is maybe not as good a runner, but I think a very smart football player. He seems to distribute the ball to the right person at the right time based on the coverage he's read. You know, he's been coached probably since he was little by his dad, Jack, ex-Colts quarterback, and so he's a very smart football player. I think you get a different kind of runner from Sanders to what you have now, a little more of a power runner. When you watch the Brownsburg film, they, you know, they run the power play, which is something we haven't seen them do over the years, where they block down, pull the backside guard, kick out the fullback, and he hits it up in there, and he's not afraid to fight for the tough yard. So you get a little more of a tougher type runner, maybe not the cutter slasher that Sanders was. Sanders is great. Tailback. I mean, I don't know what he ended up rushing for last year, 1,500 yards or something like that, and I think he did that as a junior as well. So he was a big-timer. And then last year they also had the Wilkerson kid who was just as good, just as dangerous. And then the thing you got to remember is they had Brent Lyles, who could not only hurt you with his arm and very effectively, he could hurt you with his legs. And that he really scared us last year, Brent Lyles running the ball. And we worked really hard trying to stop him. Didn't do as much good, because he could still make plays. So they're a little different in that sense, but they've got four receivers that I think are as good as anybody's. I just think they can get in space and make you pay and break it long, and they do.
Two of the guys I remember from last year, and they're back playing for Pike, catching a lot of passes, Rashad Medeiros and Johnny William.
That's exactly right, and they're good. You know, they against Fishers last week, Fishers had them at 4th and 8, early in the game on and Pike was on Fisher's 30, and he just throws it up, and there's two Fisher's DBs standing there. I'm thinking that's a pick, and you just see the Pike kid go up clear over the top and pull it down for a touchdown. And later on there, Bo Trudeau does a great job scrambling, getting loose. He finds a receiver up the sideline. It was 1st and 25 from their own 5, and they go 95 yards in one play, and you're like, gee, and he's just running away from all the Fisher kids. I mean, he's that explosive. So it's they're really good in that respect. So we've been working real hard on our coverages. You know, we've been trying to clean some things up. And, you know, I know they're going to watch the Avon film and see Brandon Peters throw for 300 yards. So it wouldn't surprise me if they think they can do the same thing, and rightfully so.
You know, when you talk about Pike, Lamont said, you know, this is a rivalry game, and it certainly is. You start off really with about 5 rivalry games when it comes right down to it. You start with Cathedral, who I think was a rivalry game to a certain extent, and then, you know, obviously you get Avon, then Pike, then Center Grove, then, you know, on down the line. Every game, you know, I think Tom Allen, you say it's always the next big game at Ben Davis. But when you look at this Pike rivalry, you've really seen it grow and change in the time you've been at Ben Davis to what it is now. How has that rivalry kind of morphed into what it is?
Well, when I first got here, I'm not sure there was a rivalry, to be honest with you. They were in our sectional, but, you know, it was kind of a one-sided rivalry, and it didn't really change until Derek got there. So, you know, it's a credit to Derek and his staff. You know, he immediately, his very first year, you know, beats us in the sectionals, I believe 20-12. Mm-hmm. And he had a very good team, went all the way to the state finals and lost to Carmel, I believe, 16-7 in the state finals. You know, he's won a couple more sectionals since then. You know, and so, you know, we've been able to beat him in the regular season the last 3 years, and they turn around and beat us in the sectional the last 2 years. So it's a credit to him that he's been able to take what maybe nobody was able to do prior to him and find a way to make those kids believe in football at Pike. Want to win in football at Pike, and has used what he has and the athletes he has and the scheme he has to their advantage.
Well, another thing I've noticed is Kyle Kastner, of course, we kind of bring him up quite a bit. But Kyle Kastner is not known for throwing a lot of interceptions, but if there's been one team that has kind of been the total opposite about, it has been Pike. Over the last several years, it's been Pike that he's thrown the most interceptions. He's actually averaging 1.5-2 interceptions a game against them. Does this mean you're going to maybe run it more, or how are you going to attack that kind of issue?
Well, we don't even discuss it, because that's a negative, and you don't want to discuss negatives. You know, some of those interceptions were Kyle's fault. Some of them were great plays by the defense. Some of them were receivers' faults for not running the right routes or the right depth of the route. And, you know, everything's predicated on the timing of things. So when our receivers are running a route, Kyle throws the ball before the receiver, in some cases, even turned around to catch the ball. He's because he's depending on them to be at a certain place at a certain time when he releases the ball. And so there's a whole combination series of things. So you can't sit here and say one person's at fault with the interceptions. We're not going to do anything different other than we're going to try to attack their defensive scheme based on what they're trying to take away and try and use it to our advantage to attack them in a different way. So we're not changing anything different. Our offense will function the way it's been, and we'll just try to get better.
Think back to last year's game, which was really a classic win there for your team at the
At Lucas Oil.
At Lucas Oil.
Yeah, it was. You're right.
You feel like, Kyle was injured for last year's contest.
Yeah, he didn't play the first time.
Is there any extra incentive for him maybe going into this
fight? No, I mean, he's not that kind of a kid. When you talk to him, it's like, you know, it's you just let's just do what we got to do. He doesn't get real up, real down. And honestly, that's kind of what you want in a quarterback. They got to have a short memory. You know, they throw a pick, they got to have a short memory. They can't remember the pick anymore. They just got to move on. And he's really good at just focusing about the process. Yeah, you know, you alluded to that game last year. That one of the neatest things is I got an email from a coach who's in the Hall of Fame and spent 40 years coaching, and he was actually at the game. You know, he's in his 70s, and he emailed me that next day because it was that a Saturday night?
Yeah,
it was Saturday night. Yeah, and he emailed me the next day. I was in my office working, short week, and I get the email from John, and he says, hey, just pass word on to Derek for me. He goes, but I've watched football. He goes, I coached for 40 years. I've been watching my whole life, playing whatever. He goes, that was by far the most enjoyable game I'd ever watched in my entire life. He goes, I'd never seen a football game where every facet of the game played a point, meaning whether you had to make a kick, block a kick, force a fumble, pick off a pass. And he goes, it was for both teams. He goes, it was like, and you use the old adage, two heavyweight fighters standing in the middle of the ring, and each one just exchanging blows till somebody finally just says, I'm done, and you walk away, you know. And he goes, that's the way I looked at it. It was, you know, when you look at it, I think the final was, what, 49-48 in overtime or something like that. And it was one I told the kids afterwards. I said, no matter what happened the rest of the season, you know, I didn't know we'd win the MIC and all that because we'd already lost to Warren, you know. And I said, no matter what happens, this is the one game you will never forget. No matter what happens the rest, you will never forget what happened on this night. You won't. They just won't. There's no way.
And really, you were on the verge of letting that game get away.
They were on our 6-inch line up 22-0 when we started the second quarter, and they fumbled. We ran the fumble out to midfield, scored, and then the next thing you know, it became a shootout. You know,
so how big was that game? I mean, when you look back at it now, and it's so easy to kind of look back, and hindsight's always 20/20. But how big was that game? Because you'd lost to Warren, you alluded to that. That one moment where you're able to get that, pop the ball out, run the ball back. I mean, you suddenly go from being a 2-2 team to being 2-3 after that game, and who knows what happens.
Right.
After that, it snowballs. But that one play really made a big difference. How big was that one moment in the season last year?
It changed the course of our season. We were 2-2, having lost to Warren badly. I mean, we just weren't good. We weren't good from the time the ball was kicked. That one play changed how we attacked the rest of that game, and then that victory allowed us to gain confidence that we were lacking. And why we were lacking confidence, I'll never be able to put my finger on it. You know, we talked about it, you know, we tried to build on it, but, you know, the next week we went and we beat LC, and then the next week we upset Center Grove, you know, for, you know, who was 6-0 and ranked 17th in the country or whatever. And then you turn around, you beat LN, and then you get Carmel at home, and you're down 24-0 to Carmel. And the next thing you know, you're winning 28-24 at another great classic game. And so I really felt like that one moment where the ball came out, forced the fumble, got us going, kind of changed how we competed a little bit, and it helped us win the conference championship.
Well, again, Coach, it's time. Is that time again where you had any last thoughts?
Well, again, Purple Rain was out there in full force on Friday night. It was great. Little disappointed they took away part of our bleacher section from us, but that's all right. I need the Purple Rain to show up. Show up, be loud, be proud. I'm going to reiterate something Dr. Butts tweeted yesterday. Whatever we cheer, make sure it's respectable and make sure it's classy, because that's the only way we want to be known for and how we want to be represented. But need the fan support. You know, it's a short drive down 465, and it's going to be a classic game. You know, we're playing a great Pike team. They're 2-0, ranked, I don't know, fourth, fifth, second, third, whatever in the state, and we're going to have our hands full.
Well, again, joining us has been Jeff Robinson. John Easter and Coach Mike Kirshner.
One thing before we go, and I didn't have a chance to mention this. Ben Davis, first two games, 101 points. The 1991 Ben Davis Giants, 102 points. Sorry, Coach. I had to do it.
Brutal. I knew it was close. That's a bunch of points.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, the epic rivalry does continue this Friday between Ben Davis and Pike. It is at Pike, and then next Tuesday we'll be back here with another Inside Ben Davis Football, where we'll talk about Pike, and we'll bring you up the next home game for the Giants, which will be against the Center Grove Trojans. A lot of history in the last 2 years when it comes to those two teams.
The road team.
Yeah, has been.
Well, this has been another Inside Ben Davis Football. Thanks to Corey back in the studio, and we'll send it back to the studio here on your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.